when Pastor asked me to come and speak here on Mother's Day and also have to do with the dedication, I kept thinking about what I was going to do and how I could get a sermon, you know, together that was like none other. And I'm saying, I'm not the architect. So I'm going to use one from Proverbs, the mother in Proverbs chapter 31. And if you would come, you can go there if you would. But before we start, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time, Lord, to give you thanks for the mothers that brought us into this world. We thank you, Lord, for the many mothers that helped to guide our steps. They may not have been our natural mother, but Father, they had a liking, they had a concern for our souls. Lord, as I even stand here today, I stand here by your grace. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have been gracious to me. Grant me the salvation that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, please control my emotion, Lord, that people will be able to understand that I'm here to represent the Word of God in love and concern for their soul. Father, if there be one soul here today that knows not Jesus Christ, Lord, work upon that very heart, upon that very soul. Snatch that soul as it has been said before it is eternally too late. And Lord, we know we live in the last days. As we see the prophecy that I remember hearing as a child here in this church being fulfilled at this very time, how I've often wondered what the pastors would have to say if they were here today and having heard their teaching of 50 years ago of what they would have to say today. Lord, bless the words that come forth. Father, they are just a human put together with feelings of a mother's work and desire in our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name, my Lord and Savior. Amen. I have a poem that I'd like to open up with. It's "A Mother is Someone to Shelter and to Guide Us, to Love Us, Whatever You Do. With a warm and understanding and an infinite patience and a wonderful gentleness too. How often a mother means swift reassurance and soothing the small childish fears. How tenderly the mother watches over the children and the treasures them all through the years. The heart of a mother is a full of forgiveness for many mistakes, big or small, and gracious always in helping the family whose needs she has placed above all. A mother can utter a word of compassion and make all of our cares fall away. She can brighten a home with the sound of laughter and make life delightful and gay." That word was there, and I refuse to change it. A mother possesses the incredible wisdom and the wonderful insight and skill. In each human heart is that one special corner which only a mother can fill. Would you remember today who your mother is? Yes. You owe her a great deal.
Yes, God.
You probably recall sometimes the meeting in the woodshed. Well, many wouldn't remember a woodshed, but I do. But we didn't always have to go to the woodshed. It might take place right there in the kitchen where it happened. But you see, one of the things that we all can remember, and as I look at the audience here today, I know many of you I do not know personally, but I know some of us that used to play ball over here in a ball field. And I've often recalled, and in fact, I have a son that has asked me, he said, "Dad, why don't you write a book about what it was like growing up in Black Creek?" I don't know how many volumes it would be, but I know that I could be honest and clear because right back there, such a man that used to run the big toboggan. When he used to go up and come right down by his house, we'd go for a mile up the hill. Why do I say that? Because our mothers trusted us to be with the older young people in this community. That was one of the greatest delights in my life. I'd always said that I would have liked to have my children grow up in this community. Why? Because mothers looked out for other children besides their own. If they needed a Band-Aid, oh yeah, we'd go over to Mrs. Gordon. We'd be playing ball. We could go to Mrs. Gordon's and get a Band-Aid to get a repair. See, it wasn't just one mother that raised me in that sense. It was many other mothers that looked out for me.
That's good, bro.
It isn't Father's Day, but I can share this very honestly, too. That as a young lad, I was with boys that I ought not to have been with, the things that they were doing, but I wasn't doing it, but I was still guilty because I was one of the group. My Sunday school teacher, I was in sixth grade, my Sunday school teacher was walking up the street by the old garage, and he saw us up there behind the old bus garage that belongs to Mrs. Yes. Who is it now? Anyhow, doesn't matter. But the deal was, we were all crouched back there, and there was a couple, one of the guys that got in a pack of cigarettes from someplace, and he had some matches. And there were six of us there at that time, and we all went to Sunday school in the same class. And of course, I was the first one to lift the, well, I'm not guilty, I'm not doing it. And my Sunday school teacher looked at me and he says, but you're with them.
That's right.
That was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Amen, that's right.
Because I learned from that very stand, and I always was taught that you don't need someone else to be with you to stand for right.
That's right.
You got it. If you got it in your heart to do right, you can do right. And you want to live for the Lord, you got to live for the Lord. I've often, as I went through the scriptures and thought of the many mothers in the Bible, who was the greatest mother of all? Well, I guess I can one of two myself. Eve and my mother. Get the point? The beginning of life for the whole human race and the beginning of my life. But your mother has got to be the greatest person in your life. There's no getting around it, no passing it up. It says, what is her value? You can't place the value on your mother. In Proverbs chapter 10, or 31 and verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, I don't know whether you wear rubies here today or not, or anybody has a ruby on you, whether you do or not, but you know it costs you some money.
Yeah.
And the other thing is this. You can't even begin to place a price on the mother that brought you into the world, that has taken you to Sunday, I hope, taking you to Sunday school and church. When I say that, I was thinking over it many times. I mean, it's good he gave me a good long time to think about, because my mind went back over history of watching people flow into this church. I can start naming the names down the street with a mother that would be coming with her three and four children, then another mother with two or three children, walking the sidewalks, coming to church, coming up from down on the side road, coming over from High Flats Road. We didn't everybody drive to church then. We walked to church. Of course, why would you drive to church like Tim if he's right next door?
Yeah.
See, I also was a bad boy too growing up in one sense of the word when Tim was a little guy. Now, this is a beside point, but anyhow, it's good side point. I had a nice little car. And I had motor horns on it. I'd be here in church. And who was the first ones out? Well, there was about three boys. Right, Tim? And they all knew where the buttons to push were. And it upset some of the some people. And, but I've never minded it a bit. Because those kids, to me, meant a lot. One man said to me one time, and I was 19 years old, 20 at that time, and be it a man or be it a woman, the statement was made to me that I was roller skating on Sunday. Woo. No, I wasn't roller skating on Sunday. I was being here in church on Sunday. where I felt the Lord, where I knew the Lord wanted me to be. And I said, this is it then. If I'm being accused of something I don't do, I will never skate again. And I didn't. I went home, threw the skates up in the attic, and a case and all. When I went on my way and never had hard feelings for that man, and ever since, very glad that he had the courage to come and tell me what I needed to do, how I was being a bad witness to other children. And I've always been taught, not only at home by my mom and dad, but by the teachers I had in this Sunday school, that you are what you are wherever you are at.
Right.
And you know, the deal is, young people, you've got a lot to look forward to when you think about your life and your relationship to Jesus Christ and your mother. If you're here with your mom and dad today, you need to be very happy. You need to think about what they're going to teach you in the scriptures. That's part of being a Ruby, a good, strong, effective individual. Then we notice also that a little bit further on in there, it says, in the heart of her husband, that safety trust in her, so that he shall not have any need for spoil. I see that as a husband that has confidence in the mother, the wife. Now, you know, in the day in which we now live, there's many people that don't have the confidence in whether they're going to come home to the same household that they left in the morning. And I'm hoping and praying that as you think about that, that you can be a witness to those people. I'm very fortunate. My wife is not here today because of some family illness within my mother-in-law. She said, well, I've never missed being with you when you were preaching or teaching. And I'm saying, well, I'm sorry, honey. Things have changed.
Right. Yeah.
But she's praying for me, and she was praying for me before I left. She said, well, just do the same thing. Teach the word.
Amen.
I said, okay. You know, you would think about this, the confidence of a man that he could leave his house, and when he come home, he'd still find it there. But how many a time there's more than, there are those that have been married, and I could name some names, but you may not know them. That the man could bring more in the front door than his wife could throw out the back door. Get what I'm saying there? In other words, the wife can be very, very wasteful. I mean, he could bring in $100 and she could throw $125 out the back door.
Right.
It's very needful that we think about how the trust that we put in one another, that we love one another, that we would do such a thing as that. But we look a little bit further on in the scriptures here. It says, and she will do him good and no evil all her days. How nice that is to know that you're married to a wife. I'm sure there's some in here that have been married for 50 years. Yeah, I know there is. 50 plus, in fact. In fact, we passed the mark. My brother-in-law and sister, they passed the mark. But you know, it's sort of like people look at that as a milestone. Was it hard? No. Was it, how do I want to put it? It wasn't hard in the sense of hard, because you loved the wife.
Yes.
She loved you. Were you always perfect? Well, don't tell me you were, because I don't want you to lie in church. You see, the thing is, there's a struggle when no matter who the personality is. But if you love something, you're going to give your life for that person. You're going to really commit to the purpose. You notice a little bit later on here, too, that she has a contrast of her love. She knows she's faithful. And she knows of women. And that she can run and have a conversation with. And it won't be chattering about herself, but it'll be sharing her husband, how great he is, what he's done for her. How I mean, having been in the pastorate, I've had women that have said, well, my husband isn't always this or that. I don't like to hear that. If you got a problem, you keep it in your own household. Don't put it on the poster board. If you're going to a good counselor, that counselor will never share anything you've said. They'll keep it to themselves. Because that's confidence. That's strength. It would be better to say all good things about your husband, because you see no bad in him. Well, that wouldn't be true, because you live with him, you know that he's not perfect. But we notice also that she's a lady who doesn't expect, a little bit later on in verse 13, she's a lady who doesn't expect to see the neighbors bring in the food, the clothes for her family. She's not expecting the government to take care of her. She's willing to go out and work to earn, to meet those needs for her family. I could name names from the church here that I grew up in of the work that many of these ladies have done besides at the home. And it's often been said, if you were to put the price on what a woman's work, a man would not have enough in several paychecks to pay that person. I remember in our church in Minnesota, there was a lady, and my wife and I went out visiting together. I did my home calling together. Came into the house in the fall of the year, and here Hannah was putting in up some cans. She had more goods than she could use. Said, I just sent my husband downtown, down to Fawson, which was about probably 22, 23 miles away, to get more jars. She said, I got to can up this extra food that we grew. She said, Pastor, I do not believe in throwing away food, because there will be somebody that I can help this winter. I believe in waste not, want not. And Hannah had more food in her basement of her little small home than you could shake a stick at. I forget, like something like 400 jars that she put up of vegetables and fruits that she had down there. She didn't have to go to the grocery store for much. Maybe flour and sugar, some spices. Maybe go to the neighbors and get milk. Fine Christian lady, and you could see it in her hands. Her hands didn't look as smooth as mine. I don't understand that. But hers were the ones that had all the crinkles and the twists and the turns, because they showed work. Now, I'm not saying, ladies, you have to always have smooth hands that are not wrinkled or whatever. But at the same time, God gave us our hands to labor with, whether we be the man or the woman. And much is to be said for the woman who gives of herself. Now, in this verse here, it says she seeketh wool and flax. And she's a worketh willingly with her hands. When you think on that very thing, boy, is there anything you can do that you can't use your hands? Pray would be about the only thing you can do. And that is a necessary thing for every mother to do. Praying for your children. Praying for other people. I hope that you have a place at your home when you do that. Could you imagine seeing her out shearing a sheep, get the wool, to wash it, to take it out and part it, to turn it into cloth, or out taking flax and beating it to turn it into material for a nice tablecloth? It's just one of those things that lady works hard at. Then we notice it also that as I move on, and I have a lot of other information on these things, but I'm sharing some of the points that really move to me. When I think of this, is she is like a merchant ship. She brings forth her food from afar. When you think of a merchant ship, there's nothing on that ship that you wouldn't have need of. They carry goods for all people. You know, how many times do you as ladies, there's someone who's sick down the road. I need to take them their meal, or I need to take a cake to them, or I need to help them out. You know what that does to that other person? The witness of Christ in your life to them.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what you're doing. You're sharing Christ. Even though you don't say much, you're doing something for that person. I often think of, also on that very matter of it, you may have it here in your church, but the church that we attend, there's a group of ladies that are always ready to do. They're on a committee, voluntarily. And they give phone calls, and you want to help out, you take care of it. And I know many churches that do that. But you don't need to wait for the church to tell you when to do it.
Right.
You can do it anytime. And that's the part of it. How often do you go by to the next door neighbor and just take a piece of pie over to them? Well, yeah, piece of pie over and say, hey, let's have pie and coffee. It's the way of life as a Christian. We share what we have with others. To collect it to ourselves, what are we going to do? When we leave this earth, we're going to leave everything we've collected up.
Right.
So you might as well share what you got while you got it to where you know what's going. And this lady was doing that very thing. I'd like to look down at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She doesn't go out and do weightlifting or all that, but the work in which she does, and she pulls together, as it were, the loins. They used to say, you brought it up, they tied it around their loins. That was sometimes in some areas, people used to pull a plow or a drag to harrow the soil, and it would be around them as a harness, and it would come down around their groin and hook onto the implement. Whether it was, now they have animals to do it, but you used to have people do that. And women was many times involved in doing that type of work. However, many of us can remember seeing our grandmothers going out with a tote. It was also thought about with an apron. How many remember seeing your mother or grandmother going out to the chicken house and coming back with her apron wrapped up, pulled up, with eggs in the apron? Or going to the garden and coming back with fresh vegetables. Mm-hmm. What did she use as a tote? She used that apron that was strapped over her shoulders. Maybe you don't know what an apron is. An apron is something you put over your outer garment. You do in your kitchen? Don't you wear it, Duke?
Yeah, I
wear them quite often, too, when I'm in Odessa. It's part of my garment, but whatever. It keeps getting messier. But what I'm saying is the whole idea that was, I can go way back to my great-grandmother. Both of my great-grandmothers always dressed in the morning as if they were stepping out. I mean, they had stockings on and shoes. I mean, they were always dressed to go someplace. But they had this long apron on, and that was what protected them when they cooked. They wouldn't even think of stepping up to the stove or washing dishes without having an apron on to protect their garment. And I oftentimes think of that as the word of God in my life. It protects my life.
That's I like it.
You know what I'm saying? You got to put on the armor of God. You got to put on God on your life in the morning. When you start the morning, you're off on the right step.
That's good.
My wife and I do this as faithfully as we can, and I'm not bragging on it at any reason. I'm just sharing it. We do it most of all the time. Early in the morning, we get up, have our breakfast, we have our devotions and prayer time. One thing I like to do is pray through our church the list of the members of the church.
Amen.
Every day we don't go through them all, but we go through a group of them.
Like it, yeah.
We pray for other missionaries. We pray for other people. We pray for people that are sick. I'm using it for the point of maybe encouraging you to do a similar thing.
I like that.
It's not a ritual. It's just of our concern for other people. I could not tell you how many times we get calls from people to, would you pray for? So why we get those? Because they know we are concerned for them. And I see that here in these verses of Scripture. When I see this mother as one that is stands on a pinnacle. She's all by herself in her qualities. And I believe every single mother in this group today can be that same mother. I have no doubts in my mind. Every one of you young ladies, you can do the same thing down the road. You say, I might be a child, but you can learn from your mother.
That's right.
You can learn from your father things that you need for life.
Right.
I don't know if Jim would remember this or not, but I know that at our house, it would be almost like a restaurant, 24 hours a day sometimes. There were people stop by, relatives had been on the road, and they sat by our house, and my mother would step up and say, oh, well, all right, come on down in. Hey. We'll get you something to eat. Dad would say, get out the flapjacks and scone. Throw out some bacon, get some sausage out. every 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. These people hadn't eaten all day. And I mean, it's just like engraved in my mind. And I'm glad for it, knowing that they had that concern. I like the verse 21 and 22, and it says, "And she is not afraid of the snow of her household, for her household are clothed in scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple." When you think on those verses of scripture, you're thinking about people that are a lady who has not only taken time to see to it that her family is clothed, has clean clothes on when they go out into public. I know I many times have gone out into public and I've been wearing dirty working clothes. And Jane said, "Are you going to go that way?" "Okay, honey. Oh, I go change." But you see, that is her concern for the testimony that goes out from our lives. Your life. I have an uncle by marriage who was a pastor. He never left the house without a shirt and tie, even if it was going down to the grocery store and get a bottle of milk. Always, Uncle Bill, always. Only time you ever saw him in anything that looked partially grubby was in the backyard mowing the lawn. But whether you're overdoing it or not, I don't know. But I like the idea that this mother here, she had taken time to see to it that her family was clothed and looked nice. Clean clothes, like had often been said, and I've heard another minister say years ago, it doesn't cost too much for a little soap and water, but it sure does make quite an effect on other people. It really does. It means a lot. I like the idea, too, that it says here that in the strength and honor are her clothing. She is respected. She's seen by the community, by the way her family is dressed, in the apparel they wear. Before I was married, I could choose a tie with whatever suit and jacket I was wearing. Now, I may have 300 ties, but my wife picks out the tie that I'll wear with my suit. So I hope you like the tie. That's thanks to her. I would probably wear one that was quite flashy, but not when you're speaking. You know, and think here also, and when she opens her mouth, it is with wisdom. And when I hear, and I was reading and studying on this verse of scripture, there was a lady that used to sit back in that back pew. She had one eye, but I owe her for my salvation.
Amen.
In 1949, she had what they called then a car. I may have shared this before. She had a Chevrolet that had suicide doors on it. Now, if you know what I mean by that, there are doors that opened from the front and swung back. I don't know how many of us children that she loaded into that car and took down to where Cutco was at in Olean now. But there was a huge tent that must have held around 300 people. And the evangelist was there for a couple weeks. And it was there that I was near the back, and I didn't want to go to hell. I said, "Well, would you like to go forward and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And Mildred Snyder says, "I will go with you." And that was the beginning of my Christian faith. That lady who took me down, and my mom and dad at that time, of course, were not saved. But it's just like as it was yesterday, my mother was there to greet me at the door. The light was on. When I bounded out of the car and I was running across the yard, and I say, "Mama, I got saved tonight. I got saved tonight." Now, my mother had no clue what I was talking about. And she's there to greet me at the door, and I say, "Well, I didn't want to go to hell, so I asked Jesus into my heart." That was the gist of it. No more questions to ask her, and anything else was said. But there's things like this that I remember, and I hope you remember the day of your salvation. I hope you remember the place, the time. Not that it's overly necessary, but it has a lot to do with your faith, of knowing where you're going and where you came from.
Amen.
But when you think about the woman, it says here, she opened her mouth and she speaketh wisdom. And I would share with you young ladies and young mothers that you can glean a lot of wisdom from the older ladies in this church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is the way to go. If you have a problem, you want something, you don't know something, they're not too proud that they won't share with you. They won't help you. That's part of the church body, that we work together as a group. And the mother has a lot to do with where you're going, what you're going to accomplish in life. In verse 28, her children rise up and they call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Mothers, that's what you can look forward to.
Amen.
The husband that loves you, that is able to stand and give praise to you for what you've done for him, for the family, to me, it's fantastic. I know when I was going to Bible college and thinking about getting married, I said, Lord, I have a motto of what I would like to have as a wife. And I didn't ask the Lord to tell me which wife I was going to get. I just started off because I was green and said, Lord, I'd like to have a wife who dresses nicely, is clean, and who keeps a clean house, and who plays the piano. And guess what? God gave me them all. I'm blessed. I really is.
Yes, sir.
But someone said, what would you have said? Well, Lord, you pick out the woman you want me to have. Well, I have no idea. But I believe the Lord would have made me agreeable with whoever it was. But if you don't have a standard that you're looking for, a young man and a woman down the road to be your wife, I think you're failing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You need to know where she came from so that as you continue down the road, you know somebody you can walk with.
Yeah.
I don't care how much rouge, how much makeup they put on their face, that doesn't change the heart.
That's right.
I mean, there's just no getting around. He can wear the nicest of dress and threads. I have friends that have married those type of people, and they are gone their own ways.
Right.
Very good friend of mine. Been many a day with, many a time with. And sad. You're looking at the outer element, not the inner element of the person. Think about it. But now if you've gotten married to somebody, that's too late to change. You got to learn to rub off the sharp corners and
that's right.
Square blocks and make them all round so they all roll and they all work together. But I like one more spot here is that mothers, if you live the pattern that is expected of you virtuously, and when I looked up this word virtuously, I came up with so many words that have to do with that I even stopped counting. Of the many things that are found to be the quality of a virtuous woman. I'm going to give you a few. But in the book that I was using, there's what starts off that the lady is, she is good, she's pure, moral, noble, worthy, ethical, sinless, innocent, spotless, blameless, effective, effectual, efficient, an example, faultless, guiltless, plus 10 more descriptive words for what a virtuous woman is. And it's nice to know that the day in which we now live, I mean, I myself appreciating seeing women in dresses that are well covered. To me, I have a hard problem with thinking about women who refuse to dress in a modest condition. I do not know the woman. I don't know this lady's background, but she cut my hair about a month ago. Young girl. She's in her 30s. She's cutting my hair, and she starts grilling me about who I am and where I came from, and I'm sharing with her. I involved her to Sega Bible Conference. Oh, I've heard of that. And then she went on, and something was said about her standards, and I started leading into it. Well, she said, I have a standard that I expect to carry on with my daughter. And then she said, it's the three B's. She said, that is her upper body, her body itself, and her butt. She said, I call it the three B's. And I'm going, and you're telling me this? And, you know. But here was a woman that wasn't afraid to tell me what she was expecting of her daughter to follow. But she was setting the pattern for her daughter to follow. And she attends a neighboring church somewhere nearby. But I thought, hey, to tell a man that in a chair, and I didn't tell her I'd been a pastor. I didn't say nothing like that. I just said I'd been to Odessa. I don't know whether she'd been there or not. But I'm saying is here was one that wasn't a lady of the workforce who was sharing with me what her standards were for her children. And I said, praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. We live in a day and an age, we worry about the sins, we worry about the result of temptation. And why did those temptations come about? Because there was bait. And I believe this is one of the wrongful things that we allow our young ladies to dress in a manner that is unbecoming to a lady that we would expect to be virtuous in her years to come. So, if you would, think on these things that bring honor to the Lord as you live and as you dress, mothers. And I'm not judging you on one step. That's between you and the Lord. I'm just trying to give you a little warning down the road. If you don't want to have a cry session, it might be better to take care of things ahead of time.
Right.
The Lord has been gracious to every one of us. And in that one verse, and I've already described part of it, but it says in verse 30 that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, I would have been nice if my mother could have led me to the Lord. That would have been a great thing. But that wasn't the way God had it structured. But I'm saying this, mothers, you have the opportunity to have the Bible before you. You have the opportunity to have plaques on the walls that read, Jesus loves you, Jesus saves, God is my Savior. Things like this that you won't, I mean, I won't forget them.
That's right.
Growing up in my home. And what I'm saying is these things before children are going to help to guide them down the road.
Right.
And this is one of the spots in your life that you can be praised for is when you know your children go the right way. Now, I will share that you may be fearful because they may not all go the same way. I know my mother was much concerned to her very last breath for two of my brothers. We pray for them all the time.
Amen.
They've all heard the same gospel that I've heard.
Yeah.
They were in the Sunday school. My youngest brother was Lila Barber in the upstairs room.
Okay.
In fact, his birthday happens to be the same day as Lila's. And what I'm saying is that you need to put the fear of the Lord in them. I don't know what you tell your children now, mothers or fathers, but I'll share with you what I told our children more than once. You may hurt me, that you may do, but you won't have to answer to me for the condition of your life. You will answer to God. God is going to be the last one you're going to give an answer to. You never have to answer me. You'll hurt me. You may hurt me. Children, do you like to hurt your mother? I don't think any of us do. So take in consideration of loving that mother you have. Okay? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for these people that have gathered here today. We cannot help but give you thanks, Lord, for the attention that has been given. And Father, I pray that the word that has been just shared, this wasn't a hard-wrapping idea of a sermon of the day or a study. But Father, is factual, trying to get them, find out where the rubber meets the road for our lives as mothers and as husbands, how we need to respect them. You know, Heavenly Father, if we do not respect our wives, we cannot expect our children to respect our wives. So, Father, I do pray that we'll all take very much concern about how we live and how we pay respect to our parents and to the parents of others of our friends. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. You bore witness. You bore witness.
That's what I came to do.
To the Lord and to a people who inhabited this church when you grew up. And I love that. Pastor, would you come and let's have a song.